Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, where we highlight people and organizations who are doing great things and making a big impact in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. Do you ever sit around on the weekend wondering, how am I possibly going to entertain these kids? My kids are all grown now, but I remember those days. Maybe it's been a long winter and everyone has cabin fever. Or it's a rainy summer day and the kids are restless. Well, instead of having them turn the TV on and get lost in a monotonous loop of cartoons, consider some kind of fun education. Hands-on learning is generally more effective than watching TV for helping children learn, and it can help children retain information better and engage multiple parts of the brain. In fact, some studies associate prolonged TV viewing with lower cognitive abilities, especially related to short-term memory, early reading, math skills, and language development. Hands-on learning is appropriate for both physical and mental skills and tasks, and provides many benefits. Studies have shown that participants who have been given the chance to practice what they learn retain 75% of the information presented. My question is, what options does Milwaukee have for educational activities instead of just plopping our kids down in front of the TV? Well, we're going to find that out. My first guests today are John Emmerich, President and CEO, and Darius Jordan, Manager of School and Community Outreach at Discovery World. Welcome to the show today, John and Darius.
Thanks for having us.
You are welcome. So let's get started with how you guys got connected with Discovery World. Let us get to know John and Darius a little bit better.
The two of us have a little bit of tenure with the organization. I've been very fortunate to have over 17 years with Discovery World, almost right out of college. It was a unique opportunity that was presented to me, and oddly enough, the person who hired me is still the COO of the organization. You talk about longevity.
Yeah.
I have had the distinct privilege of working with a number of very talented individuals over my tenure there. One of them over the past 10 years has been Darius. I think both of us have had unique opportunities within the organization for growth, for learning, and to really understand the deep impact that Discovery World has on the community. Darius?
Yeah, and similar to John's story, I started at Discovery World right out of college as well, just looking for full-time positions and seeing as how they had a designer lab and how my background was originally in design, I thought it would be a suitable space for me. Not knowing that that was going to be where I would start out in guest services, but being inside of that space was still an opportunity for me to see all of the elements that come along with STEAM, STEAM learning, and how it could be beneficial for our community to also be aware of that.
Very nice. Well, tell us about the inspiration of Discovery World and how it came to be as a community staple on Milwaukee's lakefront.
Yeah, thanks, Jill. A lot of folks recognize Discovery World as that beautiful building that we are very fortunate to have on the shores of Lake Michigan. What they don't know is that over 40 years ago, it started in the basement of a Boys and Girls Club. And it grew out of a meeting with several founders. These were very influential, inspirational leaders within the Milwaukee community to create a place for science learning right in the heart of downtown. What they didn't know is that STEM would soon become a household name and there was going to be a need for an opportunity for growth. So quickly, the organization moved from that original location to a few other spots in the downtown area before joining a couple of other organizations down on the lakefront and opening in 2006.
And that's a beautiful building down there. Oh my goodness.
It's fantastic. It's an inspirational place to come to work on a daily basis. The view is never bad, that's for sure.
I bet. It's kind of like here. We kind of pinch ourselves and say, is this really our office space? You guys probably say the same. You get to look out over the water every day. How nice is that? How have you evolved then to meet the changing needs of the community?
The Science Center itself has really taken on a number of core concepts since it moved over to the lakefront. One notably is freshwater sciences and freshwater education. We have a full aquarium at Discovery World, saltwater, freshwater. We have a deep partnership and relationship with other community organizations that help bring our mission of inspiring generations to discover the wonders of science to life. One of the things that is super unique about Discovery World, in addition to the aquariums, all of our educational programming and our dynamic approach to exhibits. No exhibit at Discovery World is meant to be permanent. Long-term, yes, perhaps, but we want to make sure that there's something new for all of our audiences when they come back on a regular basis.
Nice. And so all these great things are what makes Discovery World so special, right? What other things make you so special?
One of the huge things that is a big commitment for Discovery World, you heard me say the words education. There are very few museums across the country that commit over 10% of their square footage to classroom space.
10 labs in total, right?
10 labs in total, 13,000 square feet. But we don't just do educational experiences on site at Discovery World. Darius and his team have really taken up the mantle in listening to the community about how we can best approach and serve our audiences in a more direct way.
Okay, well, speaking of that, Darius, you and I both focus on community outreach. And what I love about that is getting out in the community to better understand the needs and how we can offer solutions, right? So can you share with us some of the things that you've learned and the solutions that you came up with?
Yes, and I agree with everything you just said. I really enjoy being able to engage and talk to the community because it allows us to hear what their challenges and their priorities are. And so one of the examples I can give from that is back in 2018, one of my early positions, I started out in guest services working in the box office. And while working in the box office, that was a great position because it allowed me to engage in conversation with everybody that walked inside of the doors of Discovery World. And so you can hear from all different communities. And one of the things that we would often hear is people would be really interested and want to participate, but sometimes just the cost of admission and it wasn't feasible for some of those people. And a partner and I, Tyler, also works at Discovery World. We started to do an evaluation and looking by zip code, we started to notice that some of the areas that were closest to us, and I'm talking within a half a mile to a mile, were the ones that visited us the least. And so that led to us wanting to create a proposal. We created the Access 414 program. I presented it to John and some others at the time. And with that, it was an offering for families that are in need that met that standard that we set for it. They can get a discounted admission or a membership to visit our museum at all times of the year.
So everybody should be able to go to Discovery World.
Everybody should.
There should be no barrier there in terms of financial barriers. Okay.
Jill, what truly makes that program unique in Discovery World's approach to it is because we often get asked the question, why doesn't Discovery World do free days? Why don't we have free admission opportunities like many of our counterparts in the area? Very supportive of those opportunities for those organizations, but it's not a great fit for Discovery World. Last free day that we did, we had over 7,000 people participate in the free day. Tough experience for our facility, not a great experience for the guests, but most importantly, what we were hearing is it was sending the message that Discovery World was only for you one day a year. If there was any barrier to entry, you heard Darius talk about the price and some of the cost for admission. We were sending that message back out into the community that you can only come when it's free. The program that Darius and some of the staff really brought to Discovery World's leadership at that time, it was an opportunity to make sure that Discovery World is accessible for you and inviting for you as a community member 365 days a year.
Yeah, and I think too that it's often said those things of value aren't free. I mean, you not everything across the board, obviously, but generally speaking, things of great value don't come at no cost. And Discovery World is a great value to the community, so I can see that. Community outreach is a major component of your education team, and you have some great program offerings. Why don't you tell us about those and why they're so important?
Yeah, so we offer outreach programs across, I'll say, 9 counties within a 45-mile radius is how far we're able to go outside to provide programs to schools and neighborhood initiatives that have events that may be taking place. It's a great addition that we can add within our organization because it allows us to bring hands-on engagement to communities, especially when we're working with schools, where sometimes they may have a lesson plan, but they may not have equipment that can expand and broaden that the lesson in which they're working on. So, for instance, I can give a program such as Lay a Land, Way of Water. We may have schools that are, excuse me, they're learning about earth systems, And so we can actually go inside of the schools and bring 3D printed models and talk to children about watersheds and show how water runoff can actually sculpt our land and things of that nature. And so it's exciting for us to be able to bring things that are able to elevate the programs and that they're already learning with and working along the lines of the Wisconsin academic standards that are set in place. So we're just adding addition to what they already have that's going on and making it, I don't want to say funner, but just like broadening the hands-on approach that sometimes they have with the programs.
Well, let's say it probably is funner. Let's just say, you get to that hands-on learning.
Fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. I was one of those students that got bored in the classroom, especially with science. That was just not my thing. And if you can make science come alive, STEM-related things coming alive that different learners can all pick up on, I think that's awesome. Well, we know how important and valuable collaboration is in order to support and enhance a nonprofit's mission. So stay tuned because we're going to learn what valuable partners Discovery World collaborates with in order to do just that. We'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking with John Emmerich and Darius Jordan from Discovery World. So tell us, guys, who some of the people are and the organizations that you've partnered with who have contributed to the success of Discovery World.
Jill, one of the things that makes Discovery World's model unique is we do have a distinct ability to earn revenue. And that does set us apart from a lot of other nonprofits, in particular cultural attractions and museums across the country. But while we might be 65% earned from a revenue stream standpoint, we do still need philanthropic support. There are a number of staple corporate organizations that are extremely generous to Discovery World. They not only do they supply funds so that we can do what we do, but they provide a lot of volunteer opportunities, a lot of access to resources, whether it's technology, intellect, volunteers, employee bases that really make up their cultural and corporate identity. They look at Discovery World as an outlet for community engagement. A number of those organizations are Rockwell Automation, Kohl's, We Energies. These organizations have been foundational, but they've also been springboards to success for the organization.
Wonderful. Well, how does the local community benefit then from these partnerships between Discovery World and some of these partner organizations?
These organizations have been supporters of Discovery World for a long time. And the reason for that is there's a lot of trust and confidence for us, Discovery World, to not just deliver, but over-deliver on what we promise. They invest in Discovery World because they believe that we are the best conduit for impact within the community, especially as it pertains to STEM learning, hands-on learning at Discovery World, out in the community, as you heard from Darius, or through our world-class exhibits. Another way that these organizations have supported Discovery World is enabling our ability to partner with community-based, in-community partners that Discovery World uses as access and works with closely in order to better engage the community. One of the stories that I always love to tell between Darius and I, we were working with a community partner, Safe and Sound, and we were delivering free access to Discovery World, giving out tickets. And we weren't getting any utilization on the tickets that we were handing out. And I was asking Darius why, and he said, well, you really need to have the whole family come, not just two in the household. So we started giving away family passes. Those weren't being utilized. Darius said, you know what, John, you need to bring the whole block.
These are
tightly knit neighborhoods. These are communities that they don't necessarily see Discovery World as a place for them. How do we build confidence in that? Let's bring the whole community.
And if I could just add to that, the reason behind me having the information to provide that to John was through having that conversation with people out of the community, recognizing that they are the experts of their lives in which they're living. They know what they need and what's best for them. And with Safe and Sound, they would do wellness checks. And that was part of the reason, a big reason why we got in partnership with them. If that's a way that we can broaden our participation of allowing people to know, hey, we're accessible. We're down here at the lakefront. Come and check us out. And they will see these brochures and they say, that's great. We would love to be there, but I don't know how I can make this happen. And having that conversation with John and appreciative of him being open and hearing these ideas and concepts of how can we figure this out? Can we partner with places like the Boys and Girls Club or MPS schools where we can create these family days and have these hubs where we know that these kids are going here and to these organizations after school or on weekends? So if we can arrange it so that, maybe once a quarter, or if not more. You can have them all gathered there at this hub, and we can bring a busload of people down for Discovery World for the day and then get to enjoy themselves and check out all of these cool exhibits and have them not worry about how they're going to make their way back home.
Absolutely. I think that outreach piece is so important, because how would you, John, and other leaders understand ways that you can close the gap in this case in attendance, you know, and having somebody like you, Darius, out there, boots on the ground, saying, this is a problem that I see, how can we fix it? And then you came with a solution, and there you go. Now you've got more kids coming through the doors, which is awesome. So how can supporters invest then in Discovery World and the great things that you're doing there?
Jill, I love the word that you used, invest. Oftentimes we hear the word donation within our philanthropic conversations, and I never liked that word. If somebody were to come to me as a financial advisor, they wouldn't ask me to donate to my future. They would ask me to invest in my future.
Right, right.
And Discovery World approaches it in a very similar mindset. We're approaching conversations with individuals, corporations, philanthropic organizations. We're not asking for a handout. We're not asking for a one-time donation. We're asking for an investment in Discovery World, which by extension is an investment in your own community. And the continual opportunity to stay involved and engaged is something that I think truly does make Discovery World unique. We are, as our mission statement says, inspiring generations to discover the wonders of science. And we really take a generational approach by way of gaining investments, but also providing that type of feedback and impact back into the community. A couple of distinct ways that you can contribute to the organization. Of course, visit our website. You can go and find an opportunity to donate right on the website. You can always reach out to me as an individual through our website. All of my contact information is there. The Discovery World team is wide open to exploring all opportunities for collaboration, whether it is something, a new opportunity or a new conversation with somebody that doesn't know who we are and what we do yet, or somebody that we've had great partnerships with for 20 years
plus. I like that, yet.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. I like that little three-letter word that you added in there. Some people may not know about you yet, but through projects like this, you know, doing the radio show, just getting out there and making people aware, advocacy is big. You know, you get one person to go and they can tell everybody. Case in point, had I not visited, I was invited by one of your board members, Heather Hipke. I probably wouldn't have gone, because my kids are all older. And I'm actually not a museum kind of gal. What would you say to someone who says, I don't know if a museum is my type of fun?
Well, as Wisconsin's premier science destination, we also have the largest aquarium in the state. We were voted top 10 last year, and we hope to be voted again in the top 10 by the USA Today as top 10 science museum in the country. I would contest, Jill, that Discovery World is truly a place for a museum goer or non-museum goer. There's opportunities for fun, for engagement, whether it's interacting with the natural world, taking in the environmental beauty that is the lakefront of Lake Michigan, or it's whether it's engaging with all of the fun hands-on exhibits. Darius, do you want to talk about an extension of some of those exhibits that Cole's Design It Lab?
Yeah, so if I had to give you a quick, you got 40 minutes to check out Discovery World, and you're not really into science, what can you check out? Well, one of the first places I say that you must check out is, as a person that loves Wisconsin and Milwaukee native, you have to see our Les Paul House of Sound exhibit. Mm. Learn about Les Paul. Learn about the perseverance that he had with creating the solid body guitar, a version of the solid body guitar, and the only person to be in not only the National Inventors Hall of Fame, but also the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with what he's done with the multi-track recorder. And after you walk through and get inspired by all of that and learn about the music, come over into our co-designer lab. You can actually make a little model guitar. And we have a team of designers that are inside of there with you to, you know, get you excited about that. And this to be something that's tangible that you're going to actually walk out with. You know, there's a ton of other things we have too with brand new exhibits that we just opened up, like Doodle Studio, where you can go in and get some AR interactive designs where you can go in and design either a fish or different form of nature and put it into a screen where it gets modified and actually moves around, and it's really exciting.
And you have like a girls in STEM program too, right?
Yes. Yes. So if those exhibits aren't for you, we have opportunities with really unique events that we'll host and put on with a number of different corporate and community partners. You brought up one of them being our Girls in STEM event, which is one of the premier events we take on every year. We invite over 40 guests to come in and help enhance that public experience. They bring their expertise from their corporate organizations, but doing it in a really hands-on, fun, and engaging way.
Well, we talked about that at the opening. I know hands-on learning is really where it's at. And you said that every time you go, it's a new and unique experience. And so I think I have to change my thinking. And, you know, kids or not, eventually grandkids, you know, maybe I'll take them down or just go by myself. Again, I would not have gone had I not been invited by Heather to check it out. And it was really eye-opening. It was really great to see. It's obvious to me having this conversation that the team is crucial to reaching your goals and furthering the mission of Discovery World. Tell us why finding the right mix of employees is so important in an organization like yours.
Yeah, I can speak on that. Finding the right mixture of employees is super important because a lot of these ideas that we have of how we want to start new programs or engage with the community, they don't happen overnight. And so it takes a group, and it doesn't necessarily have to be like-minded people, because sometimes you want to have different perspectives of how we can approach things, but you will want to have a group of people that's together that have a common goal of wanting to build and expand for not only our organization, but also the community, to have that actually come into fruition and grow over time.
Mm, that's wonderful. I mean, you guys have seen it. You've been there for a long time, so you can see that in action. Yeah. Well, I think Milwaukee would miss out without an organization like Discovery World. Tell us why our listening audience should consider supporting or getting involved with cultural institutions like Discovery World.
Of course, we're biased. Darius and I working for a nonprofit organization, public-facing nonprofit like we do. But I don't think the question even needs to be asked. I mean, for anybody that's worked at Discovery World, there will be an occurrence. It's probably happening right now today with school groups coming through where they will look out over the lake and they'll ask if it's the ocean or if there are sharks there. There are corporate partners and institutions throughout Milwaukee that have labor shortages. If we can consider as a city that we have enough computer scientists, that we have enough engineers, that we have enough next generation leaders, then I think we can start asking the question of whether cultural attractions, and especially a cultural attraction like Discovery World, is necessary or whether it's a nice to have for a city. I contest that it's definitively necessary. Until we can stop asking all of those questions, I think then we can start to ask the question about whether it's needed.
And so people can obviously support by visiting, volunteering, sponsoring children. That's another option. And through your summer camps. Is there anything you want to add to that?
Our summer camp program is world-class, Jill. We are one of the largest summer camp programs across the country for any science museum. We deliver programming to well over 1,600 on an annual basis. But more importantly, we deliver programming in a scholarship fashion and have the opportunity for over 10% of those participants to apply to reduce that barrier to entry. Those dollars come from the investors that we have. Going back to the investment in the future, all of those individual supporters, those corporate organizations, they will flow into those summer camp scholarship opportunities, which run over the course of 11 weeks throughout the summer.
Mm. Well, wow, you guys have a lot of great things going on down there, and I say often we never have enough time to get to everything, but at least we planted that little mustard seed so people listening can better understand more about Discovery World. Thank you, John Emmerich, President and CEO, and Darius Jordan, for joining us today from Discovery World and sharing why you're so passionate about being a part of their mission. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, stay tuned, because after our short commercial break, we're going to learn more about one of the organizations that collaborates with Discovery World in a number of different ways, and they happen to be one of the largest youth-serving organizations in Milwaukee. You might have caught it when John mentioned them earlier. So find out more when we return. We'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And my next guests are Jeff Snell, President and CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of Milwaukee, and Stephanie Smith, who is a program director with the organization, and she'll be joining in the conversation as well. Welcome to the show today.
Thanks for having us.
You are welcome. Let's get started by having you share a little bit about the Boys and Girls Club and the journey that made it the largest youth-serving organization that it is today.
Mm. So a lovely woman named Annabelle Cook Whitcomb came from the East Coast with a full baptism in the social gospel. So this is 1880s, and by 1887, she's walking Water Street. And she realized, these kids have a lot of time on their hands, and it's not a good outcome. We need to do something about that. So in the basement of the Plymouth Congregational Church in downtown Milwaukee, she formed the Boys Busy Life Club. 11 boys, the budget was about $12 for the year.
Consider the times.
Yeah. And that helped drive down the five-finger discount to Apple's down on Water Street and help put some energy to creative use and to good outcome. And she was the second founder of a Boys and Girls, known as now a Boys and Girls Club. That change happened in 1984. So we're just celebrating our 40th year of Boys and Girls. The first club in the country to do that, by the way. But she put down roots, and that made us now the second oldest Boys and Girls Clubs in the country. The first was in Hartford, Connecticut. And to this day, we're now the single largest single city club in the country under the auspices of Boys and Girls Clubs of America, which is the largest youth development organization in the country.
Wow, yay, go Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, a lot to be proud of.
Going on here.
A lot to be proud of.
A lot to be proud of is right. Well, what motivates each of you personally to be part of the organization's work?
Well, I have a background in education. I went to school to be a teacher, so working with the youth is something I've always been passionate about. I was in the Peace Corps for a while, and when I came back, I was looking for something that was sort of education adjacent, not like the typical traditional classroom, and Boys and Girls Clubs kind of fits that really well for me. It's still educational experiences for kids after school, in addition to being a safe space. And so that was something that I'm passionate about, and I think learning can happen in any space. So.
And you probably have some really cool stories to share about the Peace Corps.
I do. Yeah.
We'll have to get together for lunch or coffee sometime. Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to hear that. Jeff, what about you?
Mine is less laudable. I probably was a lot like that kid down on Water Street, getting into trouble. The youngest of five, went through a rough patch with my family breaking up for a while, and my answer then is empathy. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time I had the privilege of being invited to go to a club, much like when your friend invited to go see Discovery World and the amazing things, and you see it firsthand.
Yeah.
When I walked into the club, I saw a little boy about 12 years old, head down in his arms, and when he looked up at me, I just remember thinking, I get you. That look of frustration, angst, fear, didn't feel like he belonged. And I remember thinking, I would love to get behind this work. This is a beautiful thing. And so for me, it was a 2-second fall in love experience. And that's what brings me back.
And I will say that for me personally, when Allen Becker Investment Group supported the Boys and Girls Club out at Camp Whitcomb, going out there and just seeing the leaders, these young leaders in the organization, just really being role models for the young kids, it really was really a very cool thing. And anybody can be a leader, I think.
Yeah, indeed.
And these young kids were showing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really great to see. How does your mission contribute to the growth and the well-being of Milwaukee's youth and families?
I'll take a swing at that, Stephanie. Yours is such a beautiful example of what it actually looks like. Mm-hmm. But sort of writ large, we have decisions to make every day about where the investment needs to go for a bright future in Milwaukee. And there is such a thing as a social impact. There is such a thing as wasted human potential. There is such a thing as investing in human well-being at early formative years. And that will change a trajectory. And if that trajectory changes positively, and we have literally tens of thousands of examples of that over the 138 years, as you can imagine, I'm convinced half the Milwaukee police force came through a Boys and Girls Club. So talk about creating social value and being smart enough to not let the degeneration into more social problems and then scratch our head and wonder why that's so. So to me, it's just smart money, not only in a social investment and a positive future sort of way, but even in the economic development space, there's a really cool study that Boys and Girls Clubs of America just completed that shows for every dollar that does come into Boys and Girls Clubs and that puts the gas in our tank to reach these roughly 3,500 kids every day flowing into our clubs.
Every day, yeah.
So on the low point of the seasonality, it would be around 3,200. We'd spike around 3,600 in the summer. So we averaged that out roughly. We're enjoying a little bit of a hiccup right now. But for every dollar that flows in, there's about close to $13 of positive economic value that flows, because now you've got young people who do realize their full potential as productive, responsible, caring citizens. They're getting jobs, they're paying taxes, they're making positive contributions to our social fabric.
Mm. So. And it's never too young.
No.
Kids are never too young to start that, right?
No, that's right. In fact, if time allows for another conversation, we're going to start to push down even younger than where we are right now. At age four, we're starting to attract intentionally age three and start around literacy, all the positive outcomes we want. Because it's like you and me going to a health club, our workout regimen. If you start sooner, your duration lasts longer, and there's frequency. You know, you work out three times a week. Is it for 5 minutes or is it an hour? If you do that over 5 years, well, all the positive outcomes are going to tick upward. And that's what we're after, is the front load programming and get the kids in sooner and keep them longer.
Yeah. So. Well, tell us how this partnership between the Boys and Girls Club and Discovery World came about.
Well, I think this partnership has been around for a while, but most recently, over the last couple of years, we have been working in partnership with Discovery World to invite our families into their space. We have a lot of great programs that we do kind of in-house that our youth development professionals do every day with the kids. But we wanted to provide some opportunities to get them out in the community and to see what things are out there. And so for the last couple of years, about once a quarter, we have a family day for Boys and Girls Clubs families. And they come in and they can come in for free, see what the museum is all about. Maybe they had never been there before. Maybe there were some barriers to paying for admission or getting there in the first place. And so we, with Discovery World's help, bus them over, and they come and they enjoy the museum for the day. And when they're there, if they find that it's something that they really enjoy, then they can learn about the Access program and see how they can come back.
And then when did this partnership or this collaboration actually get started?
It started in 2022. We have been about once a quarter inviting our Boys and Girls Clubs families to join us at Discovery World to have a fun day at the museum. And so we have them bust over as a group to come and enjoy the museum for the day.
Yeah, it's a finer point on how we got smarter, frankly, to draw families in through the transport that Stephanie just touched on. But in fact, the relationship goes back to the inception of Discovery World. And John touched on that earlier about just the wisdom of our civic leaders, the philanthropists, the business leaders, who really put their shoulder to the wheel in response to Michael Cudahy's vision at the time and wanted to make it as accessible and as inclusive as possible. Mm-hmm. And so the clubs and other groups that are doing amazing youth development work were top of mind to make sure that this community asset was truly being experienced by as broad a swath of Milwaukee community as possible. A lot of good thought there.
Well, let's talk about that community impact. So Stephanie talked a little bit about it before, but going back to when this partnership started initially and moving forward, what impact has that collaboration had on the community specifically?
Yeah, well, in our case, for the kids and the families that we reach in some of the most challenged zip codes in greater Milwaukee, you can't say enough about what it means to have a young person who's having the opportunity for context, for aspiration. And I know that's a mouthful, but just think about it in our own childhoods. You don't know what you don't know. And then you have a magical moment where you're exposed to something, and there's a light bulb that goes on. There's a little electricity that flows through the body, like, oh, that's cool. And we see that time and time again, and Discovery World is like few other destinations where you, I think, can literally see it in the excitement of the dilated pupils of those little faces just beaming at what they're experiencing for the first time. So I just can't say enough about context for aspiration and what that means for life pathways, areas of interest that they otherwise have never been exposed to. And that includes the lakefront. What was mentioned earlier is absolutely spot on. There are kids that are a mile and a half away that have never seen Lake Michigan. Mm-hmm. And I would suspect never seen Waukesha. Mm. So how do we raise their interest in making the mission realizable as productive, responsible, caring citizens? And I would suggest it's collaborations like this, partnerships like this, opportunities to experience amazing community aspects like Discovery World, critically important.
Okay. Well, I agree. I think collaboration is so important as it relates to partnerships with other nonprofits in the community, mm-hmm. but also of great importance is collaboration directly with the community. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned, because after commercial break, we'll talk about the importance of that and how the Boys and Girls Club is engaging with the broader Milwaukee community to support their mission. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and we're talking in our last segment today with Jeff Snell and Stephanie Smith from the Boys and Girls Club of Milwaukee. So we talked about the importance of collaboration with other nonprofits to enhance and participate in your mission, but also so very important is collaborating with the community at large. Mm. How does the Boys and Girls Club engage the broader Milwaukee community to support your mission?
Yeah, so we are just getting a new strategic planning process underway. And the emphasis will be on collaborations and partnerships across the youth development space. There are some groups doing really good work on literacy or grade level proficiency. We can learn from them. There are other groups doing amazing work, taking the very kids that we raise up and put them in a pipeline, if you will, to college scholarships. All in Milwaukee is just a case study of success, like really, really remarkable outcomes. So I think for us, if you're in the youth development space and there's any way we can co-create value together, the answer is yes. We want to stick in our swim lane, frankly, and be really good at the youth development stuff that we've been doing for 138 years. If I may, in the nonprofit space, it's not about market share. This is not a for-profit venture. This is about being impactful and changing lives. So if someone has a niche opportunity, a niche program, a very specific and successful way of achieving the same shared outcome, God bless them, we're in. And they're our instant bestie, friend, collaborator, partner. And I'm thrilled about that, because it is all about collaborations and partnerships. It doesn't have to be a competitive space. It's about changing lives.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Yep. Well, what role do donors and community members play in helping you achieve your goals?
Critically important. We have a cadre of donors that have stuck with us for 10 years, then 20, then 30. I just looked at this data last night, and we have about 15 donors that have been with us for 40 years.
Wow.
It's amazing. I suspect, and here we sit in the EIG booth, and we're kind of like that blue chip. We're in the investment portfolio. If you want a smart bet that shows legacy, but also impact, a tried and true brand, if you will, because you're interested in shaping the future of Milwaukee through youth development, we're a pretty good bet. And I think test of time shows 138 years and going strong. We've been delivering. I'm genuinely excited about the strat planning that's coming up, I mentioned earlier, because we're going to get better. We're going to do more innovation. We've achieved scale that I mentioned. And I would really love to push the organization in the direction of more impact. Stephanie's work, the partnerships we're talking about here today with Discovery World, are critically important. Literally, field trips are always in the top three things the kids love the most. And it's Discovery World and a few other destinations that are always top of mind. Mm-hmm. So,
I love what you said, Jeff, because I think everybody can do something. Mm. And if it's kids, mm-hmm. Education, mentoring, you know, there's so many things, skills, and talents that people have that they can utilize at each of the organizations mm-hmm. that we've talked to today. What advice would you give to someone that's looking to start or support philanthropic efforts as a whole, not just mm-hmm. with Boys and Girls Club or Discovery World, but mm-hmm. as a whole, as a mindset?
Mm-hmm. In my background, coming from UW-Madison as a teaching professor, my space was social entrepreneurship, social innovation. That's why you hear me going long on social value creation, in addition to the economic impact. I actually very envious and love the Discovery World model of earned recurring revenue. That's because there's a very clear value proposition for those families that avail themselves. But they've opened their doors to groups like Boys and Girls Clubs for those that struggle to meet that economic entry point. It's beautiful. So if you're interested in entering the philanthropic sector, my encouragement would be first, look long and hard left and right and left and right to make sure what you want to do is not already in existence. This is not a particularly efficient domain. there's a lot of overlap. And I understand donor fatigue, and I understand the lean back, arms folded, why don't they talk? Why don't they work together more? This is so overlap. There is some of that. There's some of that in the commercializable space as well. So let's be clear, it works both ways. But as I mentioned earlier, it's not about market share, it's about genuine impact. So before you go headlong into starting, say, a new nonprofit, find out if there's an existing organization that's pretty closely aligned to what your passion is. Figure out how you can come alongside them and co-create value together before just deciding, nope, mine's going to be especially different and especially lovely, and we have another 501c3 among the hungry mouths, if you will, across the greater Milwaukee landscape. If you do find out there's a genuine gap in the space, go for it, man. We need you.
Right.
And God bless you in that endeavor, too. But I'm just encouraging a little self-due diligence before launching yet another 501c3.
That just reminds me about the statement about don't compete, but complete.
Mm. Mm.
So if you have a love for kids, go out, like you said, Jeff, look at all the nonprofits that are doing great work with kids, and maybe look at what your talent is and look to complete that offering that's there, and not necessarily go out and start something new. Mm. Before we leave your segment, can you please tell the audience how they can best get a hold of Boys and Girls Club? How can they plug in?
Yeah.
Well, you can always go to our website, bgcmilwaukee.org. That kind of gives an overview of who we are and what we do. And the same for our socials, bgcmilwaukee, to see kind of up-to-date information on what's going on. And that has all the contact information you should need as well.
Mm-hmm. And you could probably just Google Boys and Girls Club of Milwaukee, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it'll land you where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If they want to meet up at one of our sites, happy to do a quick tour. You can see up close the joy that we derive from our work, and maybe leave with a little giddy up in your step and a smile on your face. I've always told folks, when you come to a club, smile's guaranteed, because they're just so darn precious and cute.
They are, yes.
And they're worth it.
I would attest to that. Yep. Yeah, it's definitely worth it to invest in our kids.
Can I say too, just thank you, because EIG and the work that you've done at Camp Whitcomb Mason and the S'mores event in particular, you've heard the stories. We were together in August. What an amazing night. It was like 72 and not
beautiful.
A mosquito. It was just
so
gorgeous.
And no rain.
And no rain. it was just absolutely gorgeous. But I just so appreciate how you're living, you're walking the talk. You're doing exactly to spotlight amazing work in the community and solutions and social value creation. But it also emanates from a very authentic place at EIG. And I just want to say thank you and I commend you.
Thank you very much. I've been with the firm for 17 years, and I would not, and a client for 25. So I would not be here if I didn't love what they do and respect how they walk their talk. So I wouldn't argue with you at all on that point. 100% agree.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank my guests today, Jeff Snell and Stephanie Smith from the Boys and Girls Club of Milwaukee, and John Emmerich and Darius Jordan from Discovery World. I appreciate you all joining us today and sharing the many ways that parents can engage their kids in educational endeavors. You're all making such a difference in our community, so thank you so much for participating.
Thank you, Jill.
You're welcome. If you'd like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out to the Boys and Girls Club or Discovery World directly. And if you know of a great organization doing great work in our community that you think would be a great guest for the show, you can email me at jill@ellenbecker.com. Tune in next Sunday morning at 10 to Milwaukee's philanthropic community to learn more about the ways people and organizations are making a difference out in our community in a variety of ways. I also encourage you to visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows. If you like what you heard today, share it with others who you think would benefit from learning about the organization. Our guests today have shared many ways that you can be involved with their organization in some capacity. And by getting involved, you can make a difference somehow, however big or small. Anything that people do to help someone in some way is such a gift. So take some time to find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Thanks for listening today and have a great day.